Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, the weekend edition. I'm holding it at 9:30 Saturday night, and the subject, as you may know, I am a MDiv graduate from Princeton Theological Seminary in Theology, and I am going to talk about the very unpopular, rarely spoken of issue, the Last Judgment, found in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 23. Before I do that, I'm going to talk about myself. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for media lies, media falsehoods, or other than critical thinking. We try to get at the truth by honest discernment and honest thought. We're not interested in the political rhetoric. Second thing is that I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and I also adhere to the creeds of the Church, Apostles, Athanasian, and Nicene Creed, as guides for my thought and actions in my life. I also have two radio shows. I'm a host of two radio shows, a podcast show and a Blog Talk radio show. These shows are visited by many people from many countries, including Muslim countries and China. And it's noteworthy that people from Saudi Arabia visit the Blog Talk radio show. These are Christian shows. They are visited from many people all over the world, particularly Muslim countries and China, as I mentioned. I'm also a writer. I've written 10 books, 6 Christian books. These books are essays in the Christian worldview, essays in faith, culture, politics, and philosophy, and a book on the parables, my interpretation of 41 parables in the Gospels, as well as 2 legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. Recently, I've written a 150-page commentary on all the Psalms in the Bible. The Psalms are my great inspiration. They guide me in my life. They are beautiful lyric poetry, and they are inspiring religious poetry of the Jewish nation. And to read the Psalms is to be uplifted and upraised immeasurably. I recommend them. Don't forget them. As John Donne, the Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They are my guide. They are my inspiration. And I love them and every one of them. When I was young, I memorized a number of them in Sunday school, the first and the 23rd Psalm. I haven't regretted that effort. I also I'm planning other books, a book on the miracles, 2 books of my blogs, and I'm planning a book on the sayings of Christ and a book on the miracles in the Bible, and finally on the book of Job. The book of Job Job was not Jewish, he was an Edomite, and it's framed in terms of a Greek tragedy. At least it has that format, but it is a wonderful piece of work, and I can't wait to comment on it and write about it. I'm planning a book on the pretrial motions and hearings, which I've personally written. It's a law book, and I'm sure that you will find benefit of it. I've written over 800 blogs, literary, philosophical, theological, and political, and these blogs are visited by many people on my website. They're on my website, and they're found on academia.edu, and they're found on my social media, and they are visited by many people from many, many countries all over the world. Finally, I have written 3 major journal articles, 1 in the Syracuse Law Review, article on criminal procedure, and that has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department and many other European and Asian universities all over the world. And many American universities have bought this. I've also written 2 articles for the Albanian Scientific Journal Academicus, one on the educational system in the U.S., which I find deficient, and the other on the sexual orientation discrimination, which I oppose. And these have also been bought by the State Department, by many, many European and American universities. I'm most pleased with the number of people that have bought these articles and read them, presumably, and I'm most pleased that they have gotten the attention that I hope they deserve or have earned. Next, ladies and gentlemen, the Christian religion is usually seen as the religion of the nice guys, kind people, loving people. Jesus is seen as a very wonderful, humane person, and he was. He brought mercy and love to the world, but he also said other things which we are forced to deal with as Christians. They are in the Bible, and they are part of the Christian religion. And what I'm going to talk about tonight, briefly, and try to understand, is the Last Judgment. This is a parable. I can tell you where it is. Just give me a minute. It is found in it is found in the Bible, in the parables, and it's analyzed in my book on the parables on page 67, chapter 26. It's found in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And we are told in this parable, first of all, the idea of judgment, of God exercising judgment, is an integral part of the Christian faith, and you may find it articulated in all the creeds of the church. So Christianity is not only a religion of mercy, but it is, in the words of Jesus, a religion of judgment. For example, an example would be the parable of the rich man Lazarus, where the rich man who ignores the plight of the poor man is condemned to hell. Jesus talks about hell, he talks about judgment, and he has a lot to say. Let's take a look at Matthew 25, where it says, "And the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him. He will sit on his glorious throne, and then before him will be gathered all the nations. And the parable says he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those in his right hand, 'Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And then he says, these people who will be saved, he says, the criterion is, "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." So really, Jesus is saying here, when he returns with the angels before him, all the nations, and possibly this means the non-Christian nations, it's not clear, but it does say that all the nations will be gathered. He will separate, what he says is, the sheep, like a shepherd, from the goat. The sheep will be at his right hand and the goat at the left. And then he says the king will say, or Jesus will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And he says, you will inherit the world and you will be saved because I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him. And they don't quite understand what he's talking about. The righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when will we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee?" When did we do this? These righteous people, they don't understand what Jesus is talking about. And they'll say, "When did we see you hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? When did we see thee a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it," this is the key, "as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Again he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not clothe me. sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. So again, Jesus is gift-solving the riddle when he says, then they will also answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. So really, the key to Matthew 25, this parable, called the Parable of Last Judgment, is the Jesus tells us that the nations will be gathered and he will make a judgment based on how their behavior, how they treated their neighbor, whether visiting him in prison or clothing him or giving him drink for his thirst, whatever he defines here as moral action. Then he says, for those people who did this, not that they did or didn't do it for him personally, but as they did for the least of these, they did to him and for him. So I hope I've made clear that Jesus makes clear that there will be a last judgment. And in this parable 25, he seems to talk about the pagan nations as being gathered, but it could also mean all nations. But the key to this, to the last judgment, is that there will be a last judgment. It is, you can see it in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You can see it in Matthew 25, where Jesus says that the criterion will be how you treated your neighbor in this life, whether visiting him in prison or clothing him or giving him naked, clothing him, giving him drink, visiting him when he was sick, in prison, coming to him. And the people, the righteous, will say, again, there's a riddle here. They don't understand, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them. He makes clear that how you treat the least of human beings, you do it to him. Then he will say to those at the left hand who are being condemned, he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and not minister to thee? He says, as you treated the least of these, as you treated your neighbor and loved your neighbor, so you did it to me. So what he's saying, Jesus is saying, the judgment will be based on your moral action of thirst, giving thirst to the hungry and giving food to the hungry and visiting people in prison and visiting them while they're sick. He's saying, you do this and you have eternal life. He says, those who do not do this, and it's not that they do it to, don't do it or do it to Jesus personally, but Jesus says that what you do to the least of these, you do to me. And he is defining that there will be a last judgment, and the criterion of the last judgment will be your moral life, how you treated other people. So the last judgment is not a very popular topic these days. In fact, really, the church rarely speaks of it. And most of the time, the church wants to say, and rightly, that Jesus brings the gospel. He brings the good news of salvation and eternal life. But on the other hand, Jesus says many times, many, many times, he speaks of the last judgment and how the evil will be condemned into eternal fire and the good will be in heavenly bliss. He says this many times. It's in the creeds of the church. It can't be evaded. There will be a last judgment. And so if you want to know more about what the last judgment is about, you look at the parable in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, or chapter 26 of my book, Essays, my book on the parables, and it's on page 67 and 68 of that book. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and I hope it's provided some enlightenment and understanding of the totality of the gospel and Christian message. which is not being a Mr. Nice Guy. Jesus is not merely a Mr. Nice Guy, but he will be the judge of us all in the last judgment, in which we will either be condemned or saved, depending on how we've lived our life. Of course, we can never be quite good enough, so we really are saved by grace and the love of Christ, since really our lives can never be measure up to what Jesus would have us be as human beings. So I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and this is a talk which I have enjoyed because I enjoy presenting the entire dogma of the Church, not merely selecting what sounds good and sounds nice. I hope you've enjoyed this. Thank you very much.